Good morning.
Good morning.
You may have noticed a handout that you have with lots and lots of chalices on it. I'll be referring to that through the discussion today, just as we talk about the importance of symbols and our chalice story. Of course, as you know, every Sunday we light a chalice at the beginning of our service. The lighting of this candle reminds us of our work as you use to give light to the dark spaces of this world. This light, for some people, symbolizes our search for truth and meaning. This candle lighting may bring some of us to a time of reflection or prayer or maybe intention. The simple act of lighting a candle connects us to each other in this room. The chalice lighting also calls us to join together and to put our attention and our energy into what we are doing here in this space. Lighting our chalice at UUFM while others light chalices at UU congregations across the world is also a demonstration of our larger UU community. This symbolizes our part in a large family of congregations. One of the chalice lightings that I really like, I think, is a really good example of the reasons we light our chalice. Judith Quarles wrote this chalice lighting. At this hour, in small towns and big cities, in single rooms and ornate sanctuaries, many of our sister Unitarian Universalist congregations are also lighting a flaming chalice. As we light our chalice today, let us remember that we are part of a great community of faith. May this dancing flame inspire us to fill our lives with the Unitarian Universalist ideals of love, justice, and truth. So think about all the places where you see a UU chalice and the variations in how they look. They're not hard to find. Some of you wear them as jewelry. I do. There's one printed in the front of our program every single Sunday. There's a chalice on our world religion flags. We see all kinds of artistic variations on a theme for the chalice. A chalice in the shape of a heart or a hand or a peace bird. A rainbow-colored chalice, a chalice with a cross. There are chalices in stained glass. There are chalices in the design of a question mark. There are chalices designed as part of a recycling logo. And also consider the construction materials of the chalices at UU churches. Some of them are bronze, some are stone, some are wood. Ours is stained glass. When I went to the UU General Assembly a few years ago, UUs were obvious at the airport. There were so many people that had chalice tattoos. In fact, there were groups of people congregating and saying, "You must be going to the General Assembly." And they were comparing their tattoos. Large ones, small ones, on their arms, legs. So people are sharing their identity in all kinds of ways through the use of and the wearing of jewelry, tattoos, and so forth. So also, our chalice has been turned into a marketing tool. The UUA has a flame logo, and most UU churches have a church logo that includes a flame. I don't necessarily disagree with using this as a logo because it is a symbol that people resonate with, but if you look at the handout, the very last one on the bottom right is the current marketing logo for the UUA. And the one above that is the previous marketing logo for the UUA. And so in recent years, with all the social media, identifying yourself as a Unitarian Universalist congregation or as an association with the graphic has become really, really important. In fact, our church is looking at doing this to give ourselves an identity. Not a bad thing, I don't think. I think we just need to remember what the chalice is all about, and that's what our discussion is today. There was a lot of controversy when this current logo, the very last one on the page there, a red flame, was introduced. This new logo replaced a logo with interlocking circles that had been used for many years. You see a couple of examples on the handout of the interlocking circle chalice. The one sort of in the middle of the page is the one that you would most often see, I think, with the UUA before the one with all the like the starburst going out from it, and then finally the last one. So there have been several of these. I expect a chalice is used as a logo for so many UU congregations because lighting the chalice is the single most recognized ritual that our faith embraces. In fact, last year there was a March Madness type competition in UU World magazine. UU World presented 16 really UU things. Some of these were serious and some were humorous. More than 900 people voted. It was an elimination type event, just like the basketball tournament. Lighting the chalice defeated the song Spirit of Life as the most UU thing of all time. So the most UU thing of all time is lighting the chalice. So now we have empirical evidence the UU chalice is important, maybe essential to our UU congregations. There's a joke about a Catholic church, a Baptist church, and a Unitarian Universalist church. One stormy night, lightning struck all three churches. Some of the more dedicated church members risked their lives to go into the church to get the most prized possessions. The Catholics saved the communion host. The Baptists saved the Bible. The UUs saved the coffee pot. But the very next thing they saved was the chalice. So let's think about the religious symbolism of a chalice and fire. According to Reverend Andrew Miller, the drinking cup and flame have been part of religious symbolism as long as there has been religion. He said, from the wine cup of the Passover Seder to the Holy Grail of medieval legend, the chalice represents community, sustenance, and fertility. The flame is an even older symbol than the chalice. Consider all the holidays with ancient origins that involve candles or fire. Advent wreaths with candles, Hanukkah menorahs, the element of fire in paganism, and fire is a sacred element in Hinduism, for example. The history of our UU chalice is relatively short, only about 77 years. According to Reverend Andrew Miller, there were no chalice lightings in the Hymns for the Celebration of Life, the 1964 UU hymn book. And our current hymn book, Singing the Living Tradition, was published in 1993, and it only has 9 chalice lightings in it. The first use of a chalice on an official Unitarian Universalist document was in 1976, 42 years ago. So the widespread use of a chalice in Unitarian Universalism is relatively recent. But the history of our UU chalice goes back to 1941. Austrian artist Hans Deutsch fled the Nazis when they invaded Paris in 1940. He had been critical of Hitler and was known for his political cartoons against Hitler. According to Don Hotchkiss, Deutsch met Reverend Charles Joy, executive director of the Unitarian Service Committee. The Unitarian Service Committee, or the USC, was new at that time. It was a group that was founded in Boston to assist Eastern Europeans who needed to escape Nazi persecution. From the USC Portugal headquarters, Reverend Joy oversaw the secret work of couriers and agents. Deutsch fled to Portugal, and he got work at the USC. He later wrote to Reverend Joy. This is what he wrote. "There is something that urges me to tell you how much I admire your utter self-denial and readiness to serve, to sacrifice all, your time, your health, your well-being, to help, help, help." Deutsch said, "I am not what you may actually call a believer, but if your kind of life is the profession of your faith, as it is, I feel sure, then religion, ceasing to be magic and mysticism, becomes confession to practical philosophy and, what is more, to active, really useful social work. And this religion, with or without a heading, is one to which even a godless fellow like myself can say a wholehearted yes." Reverend Joy felt that this new unknown organization, the USC, needed some visual image to represent Unitarianism to the world, especially when dealing with government agencies abroad. Finding an easy way for others who were working on the same cause as the USC to recognize each other would be important. According to Hotchkiss, disguises, signs, countersigns, and midnight runs across guarded borders were the means of freedom in those days. So Reverend Joy asked Deutsch to create a symbol for their papers. Joy asked Deutsch to, quote, "make them, the USC, make them look official, give dignity and importance to them, and at the same time to symbolize the spirit of our work. When a document may keep a man out of jail, give him standing with governments and police, it is important that the symbol look important." So with these instructions, Deutsch took a pencil and ink, and he drew a chalice and a flame. It was, Joy wrote to his board in Boston, "a chalice with a flame, the kind of chalice that the Greeks and the Romans put on their altars. The holy oil burning in it is a symbol of helpfulness and sacrifice. This was the mind in the mind of the artist. The fact, however, that it remotely suggests a cross was not in his mind. But to me, Reverend Joy said, this also has merit, because Joy says we don't limit our work to Christians. Indeed, at the present moment, our work is 9/10 for the Jews. Yet we do stem from the Christian tradition. And the cross does symbolize Christianity and its central theme of sacrificial love. And you'll notice a symbol with a cross in it that was actually used by the Universalist, and I'll talk about that in a bit, in a few minutes. When Deutsch designed the flaming chalice, he had never seen a Unitarian or Universalist church or never heard a Unitarian or Universalist sermon. What he had seen was faith in action, people who were willing to risk all for others in the time of urgent need. But there's also a Universalist contribution to the UU chalice story. According to Reverend Miller, in the United States in the 1940s, the Universalist Church of America was struggling with its religious identity. Should Universalism remain a genuinely Christian denomination, or should the religion become larger and more universal? Miller said the Universalist Church had struggled with its sense of identity for most of its existence, and it had been denied membership twice in the Federal Council of Churches. The council decided that the Universalists were first, not sufficiently Christian, and second, too much like the Unitarians. So, a small group of recent Universalist minister graduates from the Crane Theological School at Tufts University organized a group so seminarians could continue intellectual discussions they had in their seminary years. They call themselves the Humilates. This group adopted the symbol of a small off-center cross enclosed in a larger circle. They said the circle is intended to represent the all-embracing nature of Universalism. The off-center cross, of course, recognized Universalism's Christian roots, while at the same time implying that Christianity was no longer necessarily central to the faith. This symbol of an off-centered cross became commonly used at Universalist churches during that time. This group, the Humilates, was a major force pushing the Universalist Church beyond Christianity, and their symbol has been incorporated into our UU chalice because of the offset nature of the cross and the offset of our chalice. Let's go back in time before the UUC to the early 1930s for the rest of the chalice story. At the annual meeting of the American Unitarian Association in May of 1933, the year that Hitler took power, the convention passed a resolution stating that Unitarians greatly deplore the persecution of the Jews in Germany as a violation of equity, tolerance, and humanity. In 1935, the Universalist General Convention adopted a resolution expressing sympathy for the persecuted Jews in Nazi Germany and noting, quote, their abhorrence of religious and economic persecution. This issue became very real for the Unitarians when Hitler annexed part of Czechoslovakia in 1938. The Unitarians had close ties with the Czech Unitarians, so a service mission to Czechoslovakia was planned. Reverend Waitstill Sharp and his wife Martha sail for Europe, hoping to help some of the 250,000 refugees in Prague. Within 3 weeks, the Sharps say Nazi troops marched in to take over the whole country. The Sharps helped match endangered people with job opportunities outside the country so they could get exit visas. For 5 months, the Sharps carried out a rescue and relief operation. They tried to match endangered people with job opportunities outside the country so those people would be eligible for exit visas. And they gave funds to the Czech Unitarian Church and to various relief organizations. Their rescue list included intellectuals, students, anti-Nazi political leaders. The Sharps left Europe on August the 30th. Before they reached New York, Germany had invaded Poland and World War II was underway. After this work by the Sharps, the Unitarian Service Committee was established in 1940 as a standing committee of the American Unitarian Association. The purpose of the committee was to investigate opportunities both in America and abroad for humanitarian service as may, in its judgment, seem desirable and wise. In June of 1940, the Sharps went back to Europe to conduct another rescue and relief mission. They took milk to the children of southern France. They helped to arrange for the passage of 29 children and 10 adults to the United States. The estimate is that 1,000 to as many as 3,000 people were rescued by the USC during this time. This is the rest of the story about the USC connection to the flaming chalice that was designed by Deutsch. Just as the Unitarians had ties to the Czech churches during the World War II years, so too the Universalists had ties to Dutch churches, and they felt compelled to act. According to Gonda Vigalia, in 1940, the Universalist Board of Trustees appointed an emergency war relief committee to channel financial support for relief activities. By mid-1945, the Universalist Service Committee was formed officially. Within months, it had contacted the USC, the Unitarian group, its Boston neighbor, and they proposed a joint Unitarian and Universalist post-war European relief project in Holland. Later, the two committees ran a shelter for adolescent girls and boys in Germany. So, our flaming chalice served an important role during the war to help people be safe. The chalice drawing was made into a seal for papers and also a badge for agents moving refugees to freedom. In time, the chalice drawn by Deutsch became a symbol of Unitarian Universalism all around the world. It was not common at UU churches to light a chalice, though, until the late 1970s and the early 1980s. And some people say this practice really began with children's religious education. In 1981, Reverend David Paul lit a chalice at the UU General Assembly Conference. This was a first. Many of the ministers liked the idea, they took it back to their home churches, and they began the tradition of lighting the chalice before each service. So the use of the chalice in services for UU congregations didn't happen immediately after the war. It happened gradually. The chalice was lit along with a reading for some UU programs. And I guess people felt the meaning of the lighting of the chalice, and the practice was then adopted by many churches, and chalice lighting has now become commonplace, even though not all UU churches light chalices. Let's think for a few moments about how the chalice we most recognize looks. This is the chalice in the double circle. It was the one widely used by UUs beginning in 1976, and you have a couple of pictures of that one. Let's consider the parts, the cup, the flame, and the circle around the flame. First, the circles. According to Miller, the chalice symbol, more often than not, enclosed some sort of circle or sometimes two overlapping circles. The two overlapping circles are usually taken to represent the coming together of Unitarianism and Universalism. The interlocking circles remind us how two religions become one, not by replacing the other, but by building their futures together. Unitarian Universalism is based on beliefs and values of both religions in a way that does not diminish either religion. Now let's consider the cup. A cup is a familiar object made to be held and passed around. A cup is for sharing. In the design of the chalice, the cup is a little off to one side to leave space for other ideas and other ways. In Unitarian Universalism, we welcome diverse ideas, beliefs, and religious understandings. Note that some people say the chalice in this depiction being off-center is based on the off-center cross from the Universalist symbol. Three, finally, let's think about the flame. A flame is not an object like a cup. It cannot be weighed or measured. It's not a static thing. It's a dynamic, changing process. The chalice fire burns steadily. It doesn't rage out of control. The light illuminates. It doesn't blind. So like the flame, Unitarian Universalism provides a steadfast illumination in our lives, but it does not eclipse other flames. Reverend Miller views the chalice this way. He said, "For me, the flaming chalice represents the relationship between the individual and the community. The community holds the individual just as the chalice holds the flame, providing it with a home, a place to be, sheltering it from winds that would extinguish it. The individual, on the other hand, illuminates the community, just as the flame illuminates the chalice, shining its light, sharing its wisdom, and warming it with love." There are lots and lots of stories about the UU chalice that show its importance to our members and to Unitarian Universalism. I'm going to briefly tell you a few of those. I'll tell you a joke first. Just so we don't take ourselves too seriously about all this chalice symbol stuff. Three kids were playing, and they asked each other what religion they were. "I'm Christian," said the first child, "and our symbol is the cross." I'm Jewish, said the second child, and our symbol is the Star of David. I'm Unitarian Universalist, said the third child, and our symbol is a candle in a cocktail glass. We can make a chalice out of lots of things, and I've seen that, so. Second story. Michelle Richards wrote in UU World that her 8-year-old son came home from school one day wearing a cross. They'd been longtime Unitarian Universalists. So she said she immediately thought, oh, here we go again. Somebody is trying to save my son. After all, it had happened before. And so she asked her son where he got the cross, and she learned that he had just simply found it on the playground. She realized that she was startled to see that cross on her son. He didn't really understand much about what the cross meant. He didn't have any sort of context about what the chalice meant. And she realized that really it was something she should do to help her son, her young son, understand the meaning of the chalice. So she went into her jewelry box. She found a chalice that she had worn, and she gave her son that chalice. And so she said that he proudly wears the chalice around his neck because it represents his church, his religious education group, and his activities with his UU friends. One more story. Mordecai Roth retired after a long career as a dentist. He had always had an interest in art, and in his retirement, he took a sculpture class, and he began to make bronze sculptures. A friend from his UU congregation in Arizona asked him to make a chalice as a memorial. So he began thinking about what design it should have. Roth said that the first chalice he made looked more like a boat than a chalice. But he perfected the design, and his minister liked the chalice so much that he took it to General Assembly to show it off. And as you can imagine, Roth began to get orders to make bronze chalices. He made at least 132 chalices from 9 inches tall to 23 inches tall. At the 2012 General Assembly in Phoenix, Arizona, Roth was invited to the stage to light the chalice, his chalice, to begin the business session during the convention. Roth counted his General Assembly experience in 2012 as one of the singular moments in his life. In 92 years, there have been many other important moments. He served in World War II, earning the Silver Star. He participated in the Great Peace March in 1986, a walk from Los Angeles to Washington, D.C. over 9 months. This is what Roth said about the chalice he made for his congregation. He said, I generally sit up front where I can see it. The trunk of the tree is uneven, and there are branches that go in different directions, each branch ending in a leaf. This chalice is a religious experience for me. Sometimes I think about other family members as I look at it. It keeps giving back. So his chalice had a tree as the base of it. And if you go on the UUA website, somewhere on there you will see a photo of that chalice. I was at the General Assembly that particular year when he lit the chalice. He had a motorized chair, and he came up, was very proud to light the chalice, and it was a really moving moment. Roth died a year after he lit this chalice at the General Assembly. He was 93 years old. So what do you know about our chalice? We light it every Sunday. It has an important place here on our table. This chalice was designed by one of our members, Karen Gibson, Jim Howard's wife. Jim told me that Karen developed this design, selected the colors, made the stained glass container somewhere around 2008. Karen was a talented painter and crafter. One of the things I remember about Karen is she also helped us make a flag. There's a processional of flags at the General Assembly, and the very first one I went to in 2008, Karen helped us make the flag that we showed in that parade, in that flag of parade of flags. So now you know all the story about our UU chalice, where it originated, how it was used during World War II, what it symbolizes to us as Unitarian Universalist. Yes, this is an important symbol. Philosopher A.N. Whitehead said that symbols have the power to change history, and our chalice symbol certainly has changed history and changed the world. Now I want to talk for just a moment about the so what portion of this talk. Is there a point to take away or other than just learning interesting information about the history of our UU chalice? I think in the future the chalice lighting will be more important for me now that I know this story. Maybe I will listen a bit closer to the words and the meaning expressed in the chalice lighting. After all, this chalice symbol helps us remember who we are as Unitarian Universalists. The chalice represents our legacy, and it represents our calling. This is our legacy, I think, from the chalice story. We are the people who don't look the other way when people are being persecuted. We are the people who are called to action. We are not sitting on the sidelines. We are the people who help to make the world a better place. We are people who are called to be our best selves. We are the people who are called to live our lives on purpose. We work toward our ideals and our values. Yes, and we are a religious community. We are called to serve. Reverend Mark Morrison Reed describes our religious community this way. He said, there's a connectedness, a relationship discovered amidst the particulars of our own lives and the lives of others. Once felt, he said, it inspires us to act for justice. It is the church that assures us we are not struggling for justice on our own, but as members of a larger community. The religious community is essential, for alone our vision is too narrow to see all that must be seen, and our strength is too limited to do all that must be done. Together, our vision widens and our strength is renewed. So when I see the chalice here, I won't just see it as an object on a table. I believe I will think about the people who built this community, our community, those who've made a difference in our community and in Unitarian Universalism, those people who will make a difference here in the future, and all the people who've been touched by the living out of our covenant to love and help one another. And let's also not forget about the chalice extinguishing. Each Sunday, we put out the flame of our community and we go our separate ways. We remind ourselves of the ideals of this community with us as we go out into the week. But when we leave here, we cannot forget the legacy of the chalice and the work we must do. We may not be called to do something so momentous as to help people escape the Nazis, but we can be ready to do what we are called to do, to minimize the suffering, to bring fairness to a situation, to help those who cannot help themselves, to be a light for good in the world. One of my favorite chalice lighting statements is short and simple, and I think it's what we're about. It says, our service is ended, now our work begins. Our service is ended, now our work begins. Thank you.